think you're about to cook.
Blog Talk Radio.
Oh!
You're listening to the Spirit Alive Ministries Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everybody. I'm Apostle Shalene Cook, and it blesses my soul to welcome each and every one of you here tonight once again for Wounded No More. Hallelujah for this Thursday, June 22nd, 2023. Now, my brothers and sisters, I invite you to get something to write with and to write on and to retrieve your Bible and prepare to receive a feast of God's holy word with your anointed host and facilitator, Pastor Vanessa Carver. Amen.
And thank you, Apostle Cook, and welcome everyone to this one of the doing the long stretch right now. This is about the spirit overcoming and defeating and destroying the spirit of rejection. We're going to talk about for the next couple of sessions healing, restoration, and we're going to talk about what that looks like for you, what the word says. We defined it really well over the last couple of weeks, haven't we? Really well. But even when I go back and look at the things that we did teach, that I did teach on and we did talk about, I'm like, man, we just scraped the surface on this. I'm going to take two lines from the song that just played. You know, it says the enemy created walls, but remember, giants, they do fall. And this spirit of rejection is a giant. I'm telling you that there's so many things that in statue, but you know what? We are more than conquerors, and we are ones who have overcome because of the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. There's things that God made provision for because of sin, and sin is, I guess you could say, the platter that rejection rides on, and on top of a lot of other little things, but That's a big one, the root of rejection. So we talked about what it was. We talked about how it manifests in so many different ways in our lives. We talked about it from a social perspective, from a cultural and ethnic perspective, because many times, many of us, we may not be dealing with rejection as it pertains to maybe how we were born or things in our family, but we may be dealing with it as it pertains to our culture, where we live socially. So I think this spirit touches everybody in some kind of way. So today we're going to talk about the building blocks of restoration and deliverance. And I always like to throw in healing because I believe that encompasses all of this. We don't want to just talk about it and, you know, point our fingers at what it is and not say that there's a solution and you can actually overcome this. Remember, we're destroying it. You got to understand what it is and where it comes from, how it has access to you. But now you need to know who you are so that you can realize and know and make a choice today. I pray that you make a choice today to overcome it. And I'm going to start with prayer. Father God, first of all, I thank you for your presence in this broadcast. Globally, I thank you, Father God, for those who are listening all over the world to this session into Spirit Alive Network. I praise you and I thank you, Father God, today because you ordained the time and the place for this to be talked about. I thank you, Lord, today for ushering us into new places of understanding, knowledge, wisdom, and insight about this spirit, not just to have it, but to move. Thank you, Lord, today for what it generates in us individually as what it generates in us collectively as a people of God. I thank you, Father God, today that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. This word gets challenged. What you speak to me and I speak to your people, Father God, will be a fruitful thing. It will be a fruitful and productive. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. So, as you know, we talked about, you know, the spirit of rejection and how it manifests in our lives. And I just want you to be encouraged that if there's something specific that I have taught over the last couple of months, go hard on that subject. Ask the Lord to show you how to understand how that manifests in your life, maybe, or in your family's life. When it comes to generational stuff and how we see it repeated over and over again, maybe it stops with you. And what is that going to look like God has a special plan. He has something specifically to speak to you about that. And I pray that you will get in a sacred place with God, get in a private place with him where he can begin to talk to you about that. But you know what? Where we get all of our references, where we get where I get a lot of my core beliefs or all of my core beliefs, has to start with the Word of God. It starts and ends with the Word of God. I can sit on somebody's couch for years and decades. I can do a bunch of self-help books. I can go to self-help groups. It's not going to be the same as the power of the Word. It has the power to heal and reset into place and tear down at the same time. The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I think that we need to understand, you know, let's talk about how we value the Word of God, how we value it as truth, not just words on paper. It is alive. It is active. And that's in Hebrews. And I remember when I was reading the Word of God and I started to study, I always would go back, okay, Vanessa, the Word is active and alive. Either you believe it or you don't. And if you are struggling with unbelief, you know, we'll deal with that too. So let's start with being free. If you are a child of God and you're dealing with a spirit of rejection, remember what Jesus said. So Jesus said in John 8, and I'm going to read verses 31 through 36. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, that key word, who had believed him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. Now, of course, Apostle Cook is doing a series about discipleship, so it goes back to that. Because I think those who believe in him do become his disciples. If you abide in my word, there's a couple of things going on here, right? Abide in my word. You know, what's it say? We cannot live by bread alone, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God, that's our daily bread. That's our sustenance. You abide in word, you're my disciples. You will know the truth. The truth will set you free. When it comes to this issue of rejection, we have to know that the truth is going to be found in his word. Period. You will know it. Not just by what you do, not just by what you read. You've decided to value it. You know the truth and it'll set you free. It'll set you free because you believe it. Remember, he said, who had believed him? And they answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. So how is it that you will become free? So they're questioning him back and forth. And Jesus answered them, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slaves do not remain in the house forever. The sons remain forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And it goes back to 31. So you have to believe. You have to choose to believe. Let's start at the first thing. You can have all this knowledge about rejection, even about fear and all the things that come from that spirit. And you got this knowledge, right? And so the knowledge in itself is not enough. You have to really be able to say, okay, I believe this is the word of God. This is the truth. The world and all this stuff out there has a lot to offer us as it pertains to what we consider truth, right? At the end of the day, it's not that those things are not, you know, that they're not used. You can't use them or that they can't help. But what is going to trump all of that is this truth that the Lord gives us as we believe him and walk in that. If he sets you free, you're free. So if you're struggling with this spirit of rejection, start with that and say, what does the word say I am? And why am I not experiencing them? And so the first thing I thought of is John 8, 31 through 36. The truth will make you free because you value it and you believe it. Mm-hmm. So if you're saying, I don't know if I even believe it or not, maybe I need to go back to one. When it comes to the spirit of rejection, it has a lot to do with how we value the word of God, how we are walking in truth through Christ and what he established. And the revelation and the knowledge that we get from reading his word and then doing his word. Let's start with basics. Read your word. Study your word. Do the word. Pray over it. Just pray the word, which we are going to talk about as well. This starts with you being able to believe the word of God and what it says about you. Who it says you are and what it says you are. We're going to go further on into Matthew 27, 46. Let me see. Let me make sure. I think it's 46. I just want to make sure. This one is talking about, let's see, 27 and 46. Jesus did, okay. So we talk about how what Jesus dealt with. You know, Jesus dealt with rejection. Of course he did. That constant back and forth with the Sanhedrin, the scribes and the Pharisees, constant people doubting him, even when the people that he fed and the people that did, that were able to witness signs and miracles, when it came time to, you know, choose who was going to live or die, they said crucify him on the day of his crucifixion, right? Those same people. So he definitely dealt with that. And even in the garden, he dealt with that. You know, for a moment, he had a weak moment. And that's what Matthew 27 and 46 says about the ninth hour. Jesus cried out with a loud, agonized voice and said, Lord, that is my God, why have you forsaken me? My God, why have you forsaken me? I won't go into the details of that because there's a lot to that. Different people have, translated that, and they really will give you the sentiment. For a moment, he said, for this cause I have I been called to, which means he had a human, his humanity showed up, right? When rejection happens, our humanity shows up. But then he still knew who he was, whose he was, and what he was supposed to be doing. So, of course, but he still had a human moment because we all will. And this is part of us being able to how we will go through things. We will suffer because of rejection, whether it's rejection that just is part of us being on this earth or rejection that we've gone through in our experiences and ministry and families. There's a level of suffering that is produced from all the things that we talked about the previous weeks, you know, abuse. We talk about people being dealing with mental issues and things of that spirit does produce. There's a level of, and you're still a child of God. You still are his. You still belong to him. You are still who he says you are, even though you're going through these things. So as we further go on in Ephesians 1, I'm going to read in Ephesians 1, 4 through 6, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world. So you're still called. He still knew who you were, that we should only be holy and blameless before him in love. He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has blessed us in the beloved. We are still in the beloved. We still belong to him. He still called us. And when you get this in you, you may not feel this way. You may not feel that you're accepted in the beloved. You may not feel that, you know, you're destined to reign and you're an overcomer, but you are. So remember what we've mentioned in the very first verse I read, John, how he said to those who believe, that's got to be your truth. That's not just a saying. That's not just a platitude. What is in the word has to be truth. Remember, it's active and alive. So no matter what you feel, what's the truth of the situation, yeah, despite you're dealing with the manifestation? Get who you are, or have you allowed what you're going through to trump your experiences, your five senses, that because of rejection, I'm dealing with fear. Because of rejection, I'm isolating. Because of rejection, you know, I have low self-esteem or whatever the case may be. You got to go back to the word. You got to, even before you crack open that Bible or you listen to the word of God, you got to say, are you going to believe this or not? Are you going to believe it as truth? Or are you just doing something because you know you're supposed to read the word and that's just a sacred discipline that you're doing? Or do you believe it as truth? Do you believe it as active and alive? And I do apologize if I'm raising my voice and I'm going hard, but I believe that it's that simple. I do. I don't think that people, we complicate it. We complicate it and we allow our feelings to tell us what's real and what's truth, what is in the word, what is in the canon is truth. When he says he knew us before we were in our mother's womb, and he told us who we were. In 1 Peter 4:4-3, it says, for the time for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, and orgies, drinking, parties, and lawless adultery. For the time, let me see if this is the one I actually want to, I don't think that's the one. Let me go back to, excuse me. I think that, this is the warfare that we deal with. I want to stay on point, follow my notes as best as I can, so I do apologize for that. The warfare that we go through when we suffer. But I think, you know what, the warfare is really when we stand up for what's true. That's when the warfare comes.
Mm-hmm.
Because we decide to believe truth. We decide to believe what God is saying, and despite dealing with fear, despite dealing with, you know, trauma and different things like that, that the rejection does cause, despite how you were treated by your family or not treated by your family or overlooked for a job promotion or seems to be in a whole lot of, you know, trauma when it comes to your relationships, whatever, however you're experiencing rejection today. I just want you to take a minute and stop to think about, where is the word of God in my life when it comes to this? What does God have to say about this? Chapter and verse, right? Not to be dogmatic about it, not to be religious and legalistic about it. What is going to feed me? What is going to strengthen me, give me courage, set me up, help me focus, help me align myself with truth, build faith, help me to heal? What in this word am I going to choose to believe and value? And then what you'll find is that you, by default, will begin to tear down everything that you have believed that doesn't align up with his word. You have to renew your mind when you want to be healed and restored from this. You have to learn to begin to renew your mind to his holy word only. And then maybe you can go to look at the self-help books or different things like that, or even books about deliverance. But start with purely his word and what he says about you, not what he says about you after the rejection. What he says about you before you were here on this earth, before you went through what you went through. What is he saying? So, you know, he's our rock and our fortress. And in Psalms 144, it's a really good chapter to read and pray. And I'm not going to read the whole thing, but I want you to look at that and pray that over your life. Prayer for rescue and prosperity. Blessed be the Lord, my rock and my great strength, who trained my hands of war and my fingers for battle, my steadfast loving kindness and my fortress, my higher tower and my rescuer. Now, this is just a suggestion. But I think when we begin to exalt who he is, then we can exalt who we are, right? So bless you, Lord, my rock and my great strength. That helps me a lot, because then it reminds me, first of all, I'm not by myself. Second of all, I need to stop focusing on what I can would do versus what he has already done. You know, I don't need to reinvent the wheel when he's created so much provision for me, despite where I am in my mind and in my life.
Yes.
And so we need to exalt him. Who he is. He's the one who is our fortress. He's our strength. He's our buckler. He's our refuge. He hides us in the cleft of the rock, you know. So this is one of the verses, one of the chapters you can pray, Psalms 144, but maybe you already have one that you actually like, that you can pray over yourself when it comes to the spirit of rejection. Remember, we're talking about the building block of restoration and deliverance. It starts with the word. It starts with standing who you are and believing what the word says about you. That is your truth. That is your building block. All this other stuff we say is my truth and this and that, that is not your truth. That is not going to hold you. That is like everybody is familiar with the story of the three pigs, right? How they all built a house with different materials. And the one that stood when storms came and fire came was the one that was made with what? Bricks. So we have to realize when we are building and establishing something, a mindset, a psyche, certain things in our family, our relationships, you can't build haphazardly. You have to build with good materials, and it has to do with the truth of his word, how all and everything that we need is encapsulated in the power of his word. Remember, it's active and alive. So if you're getting distracted and you haven't read his word lately or listened to his word, which we have so many ways of making sure that our life is enriched with his word because of technology, right? So even if we feel like I don't have time to really sit down and read, I'm going to put it in my ear. It's going to be playing in my atmosphere. It's going to be playing in my car. I'm going to be listening to it, and then I'm going to learn to study it. So start there. In Psalms 18 and 19, he brought me out into a broad place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. So this is another example of talking about what God provides, what how he feels about you. How he, and it doesn't change because you're going through something. It doesn't change because you walked away or you haven't been attending to his word or you just felt let everything fall to the wayside. The word always reminds us not just who we are but who he is. And for me, that empowers me because I know without him I can do nothing. Amen. And I know he has spoken over me and prayed over me and created provision, knowing that I was going to hit walls, knowing that I was going to struggle with certain things, things that happened to me and things that I created that were going to create rejection, right? So in Revelation 12 and 11, and they have conquered him by the blood. This is what we have to understand. We're conquered. You know, and they overcame and conquered him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, for they did not love their life and renounce their faith even when faced with death. I just want you to focus on overcoming by the blood of the Lamb, the things that Jesus come, and we're more than conquered, and the words of our testimony. But I always think about he sent provision. Sin was already in the earth once Adam and Eve fell, and all the different repercussions and things that we still are dealing with because of sin. But he sent his son, right? And they overcame and conquered because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. What are you saying? What are you testifying about every day? Oh, my life is hard, or I'm always going through something, or I'm going through tests and trials. You know, watch your confession. Watch the things you say. Is it lining up with the word of God? It's bad enough you think it, let alone when it comes out your mouth, it's almost too late. So because of what's produced in the heart that creates what we think, right? So people that are going through rejection, they got a lot of heart issues. They do. And so sometimes there's so much being generated because their heart is broken or their heart is fragmented in so many different ways, and it produces a mindset and a mentality. And a lot of times you don't even know the position of your heart until it comes out your mouth. That's not a good testimony. Speak life over yourself. Just like that song. I haven't heard that song in a while, but I pulled up the lyrics, and it's a powerful song. Speak over yourself. That's how you overcome. Because when you begin to speak the truth of what the word says over you, it'll help you in your mind. It'll help you be able to focus. It'll remind you who you are. And it'll also show you this too shall pass. I'm going to get through this. I'm going to destroy this root of rejection in my life. And in Psalms 91 and 31, you will talk about the power that we have and how the enemy is under our foot. You will tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and serpent you will trample underfoot. So that's just another example of that scripture of taking dominion and taking it over your life. When you deal with the spirit of rejection, it's about knowledge and understanding and revelation about who you are and understanding that the enemy wants to keep you ignorant. And he wants you to adapt to a way of thinking that has nothing to do with the real truth.
Yeah.
So all this stuff is attractive. Man. All this stuff is shiny. All this stuff is like me, myself, and I. But at the end of the day, That's not going to hold you. Storms and things will come, and it won't hold you. So he wants to keep you in the dark, and he wants to keep you so focused on what you're going through that you forget who God is and the power and the might that you have. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you shall receive power. Where is the power at if you are cowering? Where's the power? Are you, when you're not submitting, when you're not being humility? That's true humility is power, because you allow yourself to get in a place where you're learning or unlearning something that is getting in the way of God really healing you and restoring you. We have to remember how important it is that we look at the life of Christ and the things that he went through, and we share in the suffering of Christ. That's part of what we go through, and rejection is one of those things that definitely produces a lot of suffering. And we have to know that we're accepted. See, a lot of times when people are dealing with, you know, rejection, they don't feel accepted. But what does the word say? The word says opposite of that. We're accepted in the beloved. Okay? And our identity is all wrapped up in the word of God. Who we are, who we were before we were in our mother's womb. You know, people become distracted and think that they have to do things to earn the love of God, to be accepted. But we don't have to, and we get in the way. We do things in our own strength. And it says when we stop doing that, our level of vulnerability is when God can be the strongest in our life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but if we're constantly walking in self-preservation and we're constantly trying to do, and just to be accepted or just to stay busy or whatever it is, so that our rejection doesn't show so much, so we stay busy to cover it up, you know, there are things that we go through warfare-wise, and I will be talking about that later on, about the psychological and mental things that impact us and how that mindset gets in the way. But that's warfare that we don't see. We don't understand a lot of times what people are struggling with because they may not say anything. What is being generated through their imagination and through their mental challenges because they're dealing with the spirit of rejection. I want to go a little deeper into that in the weeks to come, but I realize that we need to look at warfare in a very different way, and we need to be more knowledgeable about deliverance and healing. We need to never underestimate the power of prayer and intercession. Never underestimate the power of reading our word, speaking our word over ourselves, not as a magic spell, but to know that it is empowering me. It is strengthening me. It is active and alive. So when I speak this word, it's doing something. I may not always know what it's doing, but it's doing what it's supposed to do over me. It's either helping me to focus, it's reminding me of who I am, and it's exalting the Lord. It's exalting him in some kind of way. So and it can do many other things, too. It's helping me walk and take dominion and walk in authority that I already have. You know, that's one of the ways we resist the devil, is when we begin to speak the word and do the word, we begin to resist him because we're deciding to believe who he says we are. You know what? If you got a false identity or you're struggling with your identity and who you are in Christ, the spirit of rejection is so hard to uproot if that's the case. Don't be ashamed if that's where you are. Just say, okay, you know what, when God begins to show me, this is why you're dealing with rejection in this area or that area. Sometimes the answer is so simple. He'll show you don't really embrace who you are in Christ. You take it out when it's convenient for you and you put it on the shelf. You compartmentalize how you live your life in boxes because you change who you are. When you know who you are, you don't have to change clothes. And your identity is always the same. But when you're dealing with the spirit of rejection, you're changing hats, changing masks, switching up. The kids call it code switching. One day you're this way, one day you're that way, just to feel like you survive, just to survive. That's one of the things that we see a lot of times. There's no peace in that. And I do believe that when we begin to deal with the warfare of rejection that it brings on, we're going to pray for more faith. The word brings faith. Remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. The courage to encourage ourselves and to know that God will give us courage. He will be courage for us too sometimes. He will be the courage that we need. He will help us to be bold because we decide, I'm not going to keep allowing this spirit to infiltrate and to taint how I think, what I do, what I don't do. And then there's peace because you will go through suffering and you still have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, and it will guard your heart and mind so that you are not destroyed or diminished, and still be able to teach, still be able to preach, still be able to lead, still be able to minister, still be able to heal, even though you got that stuff going on. Because part of the healing is giving back. Part of the healing is who you are and serving in some capacity and letting God heal you through how you help others. Not cover up, not try to be something you're not. Transparency is a big tool that in the beginning God helped me use. And then we speak against trauma bonding. Just because we all went through the same thing doesn't mean we bond that way. We have to bond based on who we are in Christ only. So we do have to be careful of that. And study to show yourself approved before God. Study the word of God. Study this topic or study something else, whatever he's telling you that you're doing. Begin to take dominion the way that he is telling you to take dominion over this spirit. We overcome. Remember, we're more than conquerors, and we overcome. We will overcome. And we stand in authority. And so it doesn't have to be a big thing. And what I mean by that is we don't have to be doing something huge when we deal with this. A lot of times God says, let's start here. Real simple, real small, right? But very significant.
Mm-hmm.
And you just keep following through. And you don't get impatient with the process. Pray into this. If God is telling you to fast, what does that mean for you to fast and pray about this? What does that mean for, what is he saying healing is for you in this area? What is restoration going to look like for you? I pray in the name of Jesus that if this is something that you're dealing with, it would get, go to prayer, go to God in prayer and begin to generate the questions you need to ask him. Because a lot of times when this stuff goes that deep, we don't even know what to pray. We don't even know what to ask.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen.
And I truly believe if we start there and say, Lord, I'm just overwhelmed with all of it. I know I got all this stuff going on. I don't even know where it comes from. I don't even. Just begin to be patient with yourself. Be gentle with yourself in it. But don't give up and don't give in. I thank God for allowing me to teach this, because I think that there are a lot of people that have given up. And they surround themselves with other people that have given up. They surround themselves with an ideology that calls good evil and evil good because it's familiar. And they have set up false structures in their life and created mirages of thinking that there's movement when there's not. You know, when you begin to wake this stuff up in you, it makes you feel like, I can't deal with this. This is too much. But I do believe from the things that I have gone through and am still going through in a lot of different ways that when God brings it up, it's time. And guess what? I trust his timing. I don't care how hard it is, how inconvenient it is, how uncomfortable it is. And sometimes I get really irritated, but I'm like, okay, God, I will submit to you because I know there's a reason why this is coming up. Good Lord. You know, it's coming up because it's time. That's how he deals with me. By the time it comes up and it's all around me and it's right in my face, he is dealing with me. And sometimes people that are really close to me, they'll see me, you know, maybe struggling with some things, or I get quiet or whatever the case may be. They deserve something. And not the God who's dealing with me about a lot of stuff. I don't got nothing to say about it. not to you. It's between me and him. And because it really is between me and him. So what you're going through or what God is dealing with you, it can get very, very personable, very, very intimate, rather. And I think it's meant to be. Don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid of God getting all up in your business with this, because he will. Truly see it as, I guess this image right when I said that, is you know how when Jesus went into the temple because they were selling sacrifices and stuff, and he went in and turned over the tables and began to whip them up out of there and say, my house is become a house of prayer. Well, I begin to see that image when God's saying, I will come in and disrupt everything that should not be in your life, because it shouldn't be there in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And some people have become very comfortable. They become very comfortable and made a public display out of certain things. And so that's what God showed me in the spirit, that he will come in and disrupt. And people don't always like to be disrupted. So I'm not talking to those who have made these, who've gotten comfortable with these issues that they have. I'm talking to those who are sick of it and tired.
Amen.
And want to be everything that God has called them to be. They're sick of it. You can't do it in your own strength. You need to recognize truth, and you need to let God tell you how to start and not compare your process with anyone else's. But I want to end with prayer, intercessory prayer specifically, based on what we say. I think this is a new day for whoever is listening to this. And I don't know who this person is or who these people are, but I know they belong to the Lord. And I know he loves you, and I know he will strengthen you, and God will open up the eyes of your understanding. Be patient with him and be patient with yourself. And God will help you through this. It will not be the sum of your life, S-U-M. It will not be, it won't. You have to see what he sees. You have to believe what he has said about you, and it's continued. You know, some people can't even be receptive to what God is saying to them because they got so much rejection. They don't even hear it the same way. So right now, I thank you, Father God, today for this time. Open up the eyes and the ears of your people that are struggling with this so that they truly hear you. Penetrate their hearts, Lord, with the power of your strength and the truth of your word only, that it purifies them, Lord, from the deepest places where there is darkness, Father God, where there is confusion even, that have come and has become their normal. Lord, thank you for defining and redefining and tearing down all the things, Father God, that have hindered them. They don't even know how to open their mouth to pray about this. I thank you for that man or woman of God, that boy or that girl, Lord, who's listening to this, and that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, that they will be healed and delivered and strengthened, that they dedicate and submit to you. They have to make a decision to believe and value your word. So I pray, Lord, that in their minds and in their thoughts that comes to the surface, that it is not hard to get to. And I also speak to that person who is, this keeps coming up, I'm hearing God say, the spirit of confusion.
Come on.
And mind-binding, just confusion. They can't hear. Whatever they're hearing, I come against that spirit of confusion, Father God, that there be peace and clarity right now. That things that they hear above the noise, they hear above that internal noise, they hear above those word curses, whoever and whatever has spoken to you, it does not drown out what God is saying about you, man or woman of God. And you got to believe that. You have to decide today to submit to his truth and what he says about you, and you won't be dealing with the confusion when it comes. And God is not holding this back from you. So that's another thing I'm hearing. Some people believe that because they feel like God has rejected them. That's not true.
No,
that's a lie.
A lie from the pit of hell.
Amen. And I thank you, Lord, that they can return back there. And I thank you, Lord, that everything that you will continue to speak to these people, to your people, they belong to you. I'm serving you by speaking and teaching this and praying that they be free in the name of Jesus. And freedom is just being in a place where you say, Lord, I want to be healed. I want to be made whole, yeah. Not just healed. Would you be made whole? God is doing, he doesn't have to do things. So it's one thing for him to deliver you from the ramifications, from the repercussions of the rejection, but he wants you to be whole. And whatever that may look like, Lord, I thank you for helping your people to be strong and not give up and not say, that's enough, Lord, don't do this or do that, but that we allow you to do a complete work. That's what you want to do. You don't have things. Lord, today for that, in the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for your peace, your love, your protection in places where people are vulnerable, that you protect them while they're healing. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Thank you for allowing me to do this teaching tonight. I am excited about continually to dive in deeper when it comes to healing and restoration. We talked for months about what it is. Now we're going to talk about healing and being restored and destroying it. Thank you.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Vanessa, that was I just want to thank you, Pastor Vanessa, for the passion, the conviction, the humility, and the honesty with which you presented this teaching on tonight. I am truly enjoying it. And I just pray in the name of Jesus that all of you that are listening tonight will just keep up with your notes. And if you have questions or comments in the studio, if you have a short comment or a question, you may simply ask it at this time. State your name and ask it at this time or make your comment. If you are in the, because everyone's mic is unmuted in the gallery, but if you're in the chat room and you have a question of Pastor Vanessa or you want to just touch and agree with the woman of God, you can type that now and I will relay that to her. So first and foremost, anybody in the gallery like to have a short word? Okay. All right. Amen. Well, we praise God. And we just want to thank Pastor Vanessa once again. I want to thank all of you who tuned in tonight, all of you in the gallery, all of you in the chat room. We pray that you will continue to just bless yourself by speaking life over yourself, by encouraging yourself, by believing God's word for yourself. Hallelujah. The thing of it is, a lot of people, they want to believe the word, but they believe it for everyone except themselves.
I know.
Believe that word for yourself and encourage yourself. Hallelujah. In with the truth of the Lord. And so, you know, you're going to believe it or you're not. I love how you brought that out, Pastor Vanessa. So on behalf of all of us here at Wounded No More and the Spirit Alive Network, we pray that you continue to have a beautiful and blessed week, that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And from our household to yours, it's our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night. And God bless you all. Thank you.
Good
God
night.
Bless you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.
God bless you, too.
Give me a PSU. Love you.
Thank you.
Love you, Pastor Vanessa.